Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 210, which I'm calling Lawsuits and Secret Deals. I survived St. Patrick's Day unscathed, did you? Well, we have plenty of Apple news to get to this week as the tech press's expectation of an iPad event fades, forcing many Apple-centric YouTube channels to resort to sponsored ads, which are disguised as product reviews. I find this really irritating. Don't say this review is sponsored by
blah, blah, blah.
Just say what the content is. A sponsored ad. Enough of my complaining. What do you say we start this show?
Yes.
Tech news. As usual, I'll be starting off with the news from Apple, the world's favorite giant fruit company. Well, at least the tech press in this country's favorite tech company.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you who doesn't consider Apple as being their favorite tech company, at least at the moment, and that would be the U.S. government. More on this later. Well, TheStreet.com has an article under the following headline. Apple's AI plans reportedly could involve a partner like Google.
What?
Yeah. Well, maybe no. The article's author posits that Apple might partner with either Google or OpenAI, amongst other companies, to boost its generative AI efforts. The article bases this on a report from Mark Gurman that Apple is in talks to integrate Gemini into the iPhone and the broader OS ecosystem.
Oh no!
This by supposedly licensing Google's AI model. For evidence, the article cites Apple making Google the default search engine on its Safari browser, which comes standards on all the giant fruit company's computing devices. Now hold on a minute. Apple doesn't license search from Google. In fact, Google pays Apple $18 billion per year for making their search engine the default option. So is Google going to pay Apple to make Gemini their default AI on Apple devices? Well, of course not. Also, Apple prides itself as being a consumer privacy advocate corporation. Any function of Gemini would have to be performed on the hardware itself for Apple to even consider using it. In my understanding, Gemini performs most of its functions in the cloud on the internet, sucking up all the data it can from its users. Well, I could be wrong,
yes.
But I can't see Apple sacrificing the goodwill of its customers and the company's own policies in order to take a shortcut to AI. What I can see Apple doing is licensing things like the Magic Erase feature from Google Photos and other small AI tasks. Tasks that can be performed on the device itself. A report from CNET backs me up on this. I'm of the opinion that when Apple does fully enter the AI fray, it will disrupt the space in some way. As I've said before, I think artificial intelligence's future will see it becoming the operating system, not just a small part of it. This is what I think Apple is aiming for. Then again, what do I know? I'm just an old retiree who sits in front of a microphone, bloviating week upon week about what's happening and what I think is going to happen.
Hello there.
Anyway, Apple's stock is up 2.6% and Google's stock is up 6.7% since the news, or should I say, rumors of these supposed negotiations broke. Though Mark Gurman threw a damper on the whole Apple Smart Ring thing, rumors are still bouncing around the old intertubes of an imminent release of one, especially on YouTube. Within the last 7 days, videos from channels Zone of Tech, Digital Tech Trends, and others are proclaiming the Apple Smart Ring release is right around the corner. Even one of my favorite YouTube channels, FPT, recently posted a video in which the host, John Prosser, espouse the advantages of a smart ring over an Apple Watch and hinted Apple will have one available real soon now. So which is it? Gurman, who appears to have sources within Apple, as does Prosser, are predicting opposite things. Maybe this current flurry of rumors and videos are spurred on by last week's lack of tech news. Hell, could be, as the big March Apple event tech pundits were expecting hasn't materialized and there are no stirrings in Cupertino suggesting one is coming. I guess that the only ones that actually know about when or if Apple will release a smart ring are the people who are in charge over at Apple and those who are, or are not, working on the smart ring project. Sure, I would love if Apple released a smart ring. However, I wouldn't buy the first generation of such a product. As I've stated in past episodes, my opinion is to never buy the first generation of any product, especially tech products. Then again, I have that luxury because I currently own an Aura ring, and I'm somewhat satisfied with it. The Aura ring complements my Apple Watch nicely. A future Apple ring would have to go beyond the features of the Aura ring for me to even consider purchasing one. Features that would allow me to replace my Apple Watch with it. What's your opinion? Do you even want or care about a smart ring? The U.S. Department of Justice has announced an anti-monopoly lawsuit against Apple.
What?
Wow.
The government is accusing Apple of locking out competitors from the company's ecosystem. Messaging incompatibility and access to the functionality of the operating system were used as examples of this. The Apple Watch's incompatibility with Android was also cited. Well, I'll remind you that though Google's Android mobile operating system is open source, companies manufacturing the hardware are required to load Google apps and services onto the phones if they want operating system updates from the Big G. Did Apple anger daddy government somehow? Well, only their hairdressers know. This case will drag out for years, and unlike us ordinary folk, Apple, besides having a crack team of lawyers on call, also has not just billions, but trillions of dollars in the company's war chest to fund these lawyers. Of course, this is all about money, as everything is. In this case, it's probably because Apple dodges taxes like I dodge household chores. And you may wonder, where is Apple CEO Tim Cook during all this? Well, he's hobnobbing with the CCP over in China, most likely negotiating another multi-billion dollar secret deal with them, similar to the previous secret deal he made back in 2016, which ran its course in late 2022. This, as iPhone sales once again fall off a cliff in Mr. Cook's favorite communist nation. I feel that the timing of this government lawsuit was not coincidental. What say you? Google held an AI event last Tuesday which touted how beneficial the new technology will be when it's integrated into the company's health monitoring tech. Yeah. And they even included the Fitbit brand during this event.
Wow.
I still think Google will eventually kill off the Fitbit brand once they wean off current users of it and convert them to the house brand. Google has a long history of either doing away with brands they acquire or selling them off. See the Motorola phone brand for reference. The one thing I'm cautious about with the current rush towards the digitization of health records is the ease of accessing those records, and that could be used against you by insurance companies, for example.
Yes.
I seem to remember one Hillary Clinton attempting to do this back in the early 2000s, using compliance with a UN mandate as an excuse. Well, the real reason was universal health care and a large amount of money from the big pharma industry. Fortunately, that attempt failed. But now it's going to be implemented by big tech, with convenience and efficiency being the selling point. Bring on the death boards that will be formed and tasked with deciding if you're worthy of being saved or not. Well, maybe that's an overreaction, but then again, maybe it's not. If you're interested in what was announced during the Google's health event, I recommend watching the highlights on CNET's YouTube channel. They break everything down in a 16-minute video. Yeah, the event was a too long one. Then again, I don't think the consumer was the primary audience for this. The non-Apple-centric tech press is most excited by the upcoming, according to them, Google Pixel 8a. The mid-range phone is expected to be announced during this year's Google I.O., slated for May 14th through the 15th. Many sites and YouTube channels have titles like Pixel 8a Spec Leaks or Google Pixel 8a, What to Expect? But upon reading the articles and watching the videos, it turns out these are just speculations. Behavior exactly like their Apple tech press brethren. What I do know is that if the Pixel 8a is like previous A-series models from Google, it will be constructed of a lesser quality material, carry most but not all of the software features of the high-end Pixel 8 series, not have a good of a screen or cameras, a toned-down central processor, and good battery life. All in all, the Pixel 8a will be a very good value for your money. The big question for me anyway is, will the Pixel 8a get the same 7 years of operating system updates as promised for its more expensive siblings? I guess it all will be revealed come May. Well, for some odd reason, I thought that the Microsoft Digital event titled Advancing New Era of Work with Copilot was going to be held on March 26th.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Right as always, random female voice I downloaded from a website whose name I've since forgotten was actually held on the 21st. The event was not aimed at consumers at all.
No.
It was squarely aimed at business users. It was mainly about the company's AI Copilot and its application towards business use. The hardware introduced were designated AI PCs as predicted. The Surface 10, a detachable keyboard-equipped model, has an improved anti-glare screen and improved AI-assisted front camera for video calls. The detachable keyboard gets a dedicated Copilot key.
Yeah, boy.
And it has better backlit keys, which is something I wish Apple would provide on its lower-priced detachable keyboards. The Surface 10 also has beefed up graphics and neural processing units for using AI. The Surface 6, which is a normal laptop, has features that mostly mimic the Surface 10's, except has less graphics power and a plain 1080p front camera. It does add a card slot for CAC type IDs. Both laptops are powered by the latest Intel Core Ultra chips. The starting price for both models is $1,199, that's $1,199. No OLED screens or Snapdragon X chip options were announced. Those options are expected to be made available on the consumer versions of these laptops in May. The business market is Microsoft's bread and butter, and this event solidifies the company's top position within that market, in my opinion. Tech I'm using. With my intent to move to a new location sooner than later, I've been thinking about home security, specifically security cameras. While my current Ring cameras function fine, well, more like good enough, I'm considering a hardwired alternative to Ring, perhaps even a hybrid system. Hardwired cameras for the outside of my home and Ring cameras to monitor the interior of it. By hardwired, I mean a system with its own local storage and retrieval method, not dependent on Wi-Fi or the cloud to operate. All of this would be hooked up to a backup system in case the electricity goes out. The doorbell camera, of course, would have to be a Ring-type system, as well as the indoor cameras. And yes, if you were thinking, I'm a cautious person, if not paranoid. Growing up in the Bronx will kind of do that to you. My lovely wife and I have decided on purchasing a new construction home so I can build a security system right into the construction. I'm not talking a sprawling abode here, just a smallish 3-bedroom, 2-bath affair. A home we can live out our retirement years in. I'd also like to have dedicated Ethernet connections in all bedrooms, the living room and the kitchen. Whenever I'm asked where I'd like to live, I've always answered, as long as I have great internet connectivity and Amazon delivers packages to my area, well, I'm good. A true sign of the modern times, don't you think? When we actually start looking next month, we were supposed to go this weekend, but things happen, I'll be able to ascertain the feasibility of this plan of mine. I know this will sound sort of crazy, but I prefer the iPad Pro's Magic Keyboard attachment over the MacBook and desktop Magic Keyboard.
What?
The iPad's keyboard allows me to type faster on it, at least with my modified hunt and peck method, than the others allow. Most users seem to kind of hate these keyboards. I find it to have the perfect key travel, and its backlit keys are great. Apple's desktop Magic Keyboard doesn't feature backlit keys for some reason, only known to Apple. Perhaps a newly designed desktop Magic Keyboard, rumored to be coming real soon now, will have backlit keys. Even my non-Apple mechanical keyboard I use with my Mac Mini has backlit keys, and its battery life is just as good, if not better, than Apple's version of a desktop keyboard.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertainment news. Well, it's not much to talk about here this week.
Yay!
A reason to celebrate for some. I just started watching Shogun via Hulu, and I can say that I'm enjoying it. I'm behind a couple of episodes of Halo. I just haven't gotten around to watching them yet. Nothing hitting movie theaters interests me or any members of my family, which is just all too common these days. I've seen the trailers for the new Star Wars series, The Acolyte, before all the geeks on YouTube had a chance to slam it. I thought it looked like a low-budget affair, though I'm sure the House of Mouse spent multi-millions of dollars to produce it. I must confess, I never was a big Star Wars fan, even upon seeing the first film in London back in 1977. I'm more of a Star Trek kind of guy, but not a fan of the recent television series. The last Star Wars vehicle I enjoyed was Rogue One from 2016. I've turned into more of a hardcore science fiction fan. Shows like Dark Matter, The Expanse, Beacon 23, and Foundation are my favorite shows of that genre. Gamergate 2.0 seems to still be raging, but I've already lost interest in keeping up with the happenings concerning it, despite YouTube's algorithm telling me otherwise. The only other thing in entertainment that happened this week was popular political commentator Candace Owen has left the Daily Wire organization after having a fallout with Ben Shapiro, himself a popular political commentator and co-founder of the Daily Wire. Like the Blaze before it, the Daily Wire started off with a lot of promise for independent news reporting, but as they grew in popularity and wealth, they've become more like the mainstream media that they sought to disrupt. I haven't listened to both The Blaze or The Daily Wire for quite some time now. In fact, I've given up on news and political stuff because it makes me feel angry. Sure, I'll pay attention to a major story when warranted, but I'm no longer a news junkie like I was in the past, and I feel much better for it. Podcast news. It seems one of the oldest podcast networks is dying on the vine. I'm talking about the TWiT network. TWiT stands for This Week in Tech. TWiT was founded by author and radio host Leo Laporte back in California in 2005. It produces a multitude of tech-related shows. I think 14 is the current number of shows on the network. Until recently, the TWiT network was very successful. Laporte first gained fame by writing articles for Byte magazine during the early days of home computing, which I recall as being the day. He then moved on to commercial radio and television, where he's best known for hosting the Tech Guy show, which ended voluntarily in 2022. Well, he might regret giving up his radio career these days. I used to watch various podcasts on the network daily, utilizing the dedicated TWiT app on my Apple TV and iPad. Yeah, I said used to. The first red flag for me was that the network started putting certain live shows behind a paywall and then discontinued its own dedicated app. The second red flag was putting the kibosh on third-party dedicated TWiT apps. The third and final red flag was, like all media it seems these days, unfortunately, politics started being injected into these tech shows during the Trump years. The first instances of this that I noticed was one of the co-hosts of MacBreak Weekly, one Mr. Andy Inaco, a man who sports mutton chop sideburns, something that went out of style in the 70s, I'll have you know, and lived at home with his mother. Mr. Inaco is a product of the NPR system who is so cheap that he hijacks a section of his local public library in order to appear on a show. Hey, free Wi-Fi, dude! No matter the tech subject being discussed, he would just have to interject his dislike of the current government, especially the president. He added nothing to the discussion, which was supposed to be about tech. I overlooked this, figuring he and Leo Laporte went way back and that Leo felt sorry for the man, so he gave him a paid slot on the show. That and his opinions were mostly ignored by the other three hosts. Then hosts of other shows started interjecting their ideology into discussions, no matter what the tech subject. Well, the final nail in the coffin for me was, while watching This Week in Google on the network, some neck-beater 20-something-year-old co-host displayed an Antifa flag in the background, along with a hat that had ACAB embossed on it, that's A-C-A-B. ACAB stands for All Cops Are Bastards. I come from a law enforcement background, my cousin and father having been employed by the NYPD, a brother-in-law who is retired from law enforcement, and a nephew who is currently a member of the Austin, Texas Police Force. That was the last time I bothered watching any show on the TWiT network, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one that did this. Recently, Lisa Laporte, wife of Leo, who runs the TWiT network, posted on X under the title, Why Podcasting is Struggling. Ms. Laporte puts the blame on the advertising industry and hosting platforms, which she accuses of only caring about themselves, not the creators of the content. Well, duh. That's how capitalism sort of works. Capitalism isn't perfect, but it has proven to be much better than the alternatives. Her posts on X have been ratioed, as the cool kids say.
Yes.
With ad companies, hosting platforms, and even OG podcast hosts disagreeing with her while commentating on her accusations. This comes on the heels of Leo Laporte himself stating that the Twit Network was bleeding money. While Lisa Laporte does bring up some good points in my opinion, I think Twit's problems have to do more with the network shift to inserting ideology into what should be tech conversations, combined with constant breaks for ads, both inserted and host read. This, along with popular shows' live airings being hidden behind paywalls, contributes to less people interested in watching the content Twit offers. There's a lot of competition out there these days. Competition whose content isn't behind a paywall and whose hosts don't interject their personal ideology into subjects being discussed. A lot of podcasts these days seem to exist only to brutalize other podcasts, and frankly, I'm tired of them. I used to enjoy the podcast that started this trend, the Who Are These Podcast show. When WATP first started out, they reviewed both independent and sponsored podcasts. Sure, WATP would poke fun at the targeted shows, but also suggest improvements to make the show better. The added bonus was that these targeted shows would see an increase in listenership after being reviewed by WATP. A couple of years ago, when WATP started gaining a large audience, they began not reviewing podcasts and offering constructive criticism. Instead, they began starting feuds with more established podcasts, who in turn would respond. This all reminds me of the old commercial radio shock jock feuds. It worked for listenership and ratings for these radio personalities, so these feuding-type podcasts are emulating this particular formula. It must be working for them because more and more of these types of shows are being started every day. All I can say is, grow up. Like the commercial radio industry found out the hard way, audiences will eventually tire of this and eventually tune out. Just saying. Though the celebrity-hosted podcast model has mostly failed, that doesn't mean Podcasting Incorporated won't stop trying to launch them. Nearly a week goes by without the various podcasting newsletters I subscribe to mentions yet another one or two being launched by either an athletic or screen celebrity. Thankfully, these shows tend to just fade into oblivion after a short time, unless they actually provide something other than a chat with a fellow celebrity. It seems most old and new podcasts are of the interview type. I guess they're popular because there are a heck of a lot of them out there. Some weeks my email box is flooded with requests to be interviewed on this podcast. No one you've heard of, and most have nothing to do with tech or anything else I feel my audience would want to hear about. Most of these requests concern some CEO of an obscure startup who must have hired some PR firm. To want to be on the OFNT podcast, you'd have to be pretty desperate. I mean, my audience stats have become laughable over the last year for various reasons. I'll figure it out eventually. There's a lot of competition out there, and my plan is to outlast them all. I'm not set up to do interviews on this show. Well, perhaps in the future. What I would really like to do is have a co-host so we can riff off each other, but that would most likely be better for a different sort of show. Another thing I've brought up before is the proliferation of the Shure SM7B for a podcast. I don't know if it's the Joe Rogan effect or what, but almost every video podcast employs them. Myself, I settled on the Electro Voice RE20 mic. It's an old commercial radio broadcast standard, is legendary for its longevity, and is still made in the USA. How about that? The Shure SM7B is made in China, like most mics are these days. Plus, some of the most legendary broadcasters in history have and still use the RE20. Rush Limbaugh, Larry King, Art Bell, and Michael Savage, to name a few. Though Art Bell switched to the Heil PR40 late in his career, and Mr. Savage seems to have switched to the RE27N these days. Well, I can say that the RE20 I'm using will most likely outlive me, and that's saying something. The music is playing, signifying the beginning of the end for this episode of the OFNT podcast. Thanks for listening to it if you made it this far, even if you didn't make it this far. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com. And that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. And remember to support independent podcasts. Somebody needs to. The show is over now, so pack up and get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.